welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, hey, it is my pleasure to welcome you to December. We're about to say goodbye to 2020. And how, I don't know about you, but I'm happy to say bye-bye. Bye-bye. But I have grown during that time. And one of the places I've grown, I've been on several other people's platforms, and one of them is Pamela Smith. And no, we're not related. Her podcast is called It's All Mental. And so I joined her right before Turkey Day, and we had too much fun. Let me just say that. We had too much fun. And because my chapter in my book talks a lot about mental health and athletics, from the administrator side, we kind of dibbled and dabbed in that. And so just take a listen. I believe it's on iTunes. It's All Mental with Pamela Smith. And see what we talked about. And, hey, people, it's interesting when life comes full circle. Many of you know that I began as a sports information director, and I was a student sports information director at Hampton University under LeCount Conaway. And LeCount Conaway actually did pass away, I think it was 2011, almost a decade ago, right before. Was it, I think it was after Thanksgiving. He was covering, I think it's the Turkey Bowl or something, the SIC folks, and he was covering the football game for HSRN, that's Heritage Sports Radio Network. And I said all that to say that when I got the request to join HSRN by providing syndication of our podcast, honestly, I got emotional because when you have a mentor who plants his philosophy of promoting the student athlete, And to see it come to fruition on a national stage, and then to be asked by the colleagues, you know, we love your content, we want to bring you aboard, and yeah, I was just, I had to get myself together, to be honest with you, and I was like, say what? And I mean, it's not just LeCount. Wallace Dooley was a member of this network, and Mike Wilson. So for those who are familiar with the sports information director world, especially HBCU, those are my foundation. And all three of those men have passed on, and all three of those men work with HSRN. And and here's another connection. So the person who asked me, and for those who live in Raleigh, North Carolina, it was Thomas the Thrill Hill. He used to do mornings back in the 90s. And when I worked at St. Paul's College, we could hear that radio station there. And it's ironic. And so the tournament, the CLA tournament, was in Raleigh that time, and we built a relationship with that radio station because we had so much interaction with the spring sports being in Raleigh and then the basketball tournament being in Raleigh. And so interesting enough, they came down to St. Paul's College to do a concert or a party for me for free as a fundraiser. And years later, I see him Thomas the Thrill Hill doing the PA for, I think it was Shaw University, and LeCount Conaway was working there. And just small world, just a small world. So this podcast will begin our syndication officially. And so I'm excited that they find our content to be worthy to be on their 24-hour network. It's the Heritage Sports Radio Network. And thank you, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. And, I mean, again, partnerships are great, and I'm happy about those who will be immediate partners with here with us at A Chat in the Garden, because they not only get to our 1,800 followers with our companion Facebook group, but they also will hit the airwaves with HSRN. And one of those folks is Jolene Robinson, who is a champion women's basketball coach. She's retired from, she put a whistle up, but I witnessed her commitment and winning ways. And so because of those winning ways, and when I tell you she didn't take any mess, she didn't take any mess. And she didn't do a whole, I can't say I have seen her stomp a little bit, but she didn't do a whole lot of hollering. She did a whole lot of looking. I think she had that Pat Summitt stare, to be honest with you. But, yeah, she has started her own company called Stepping to Win. And, hey, and what is she winning with? She is winning in the area of helping women in the investment game. And how many people would need to find a second income? I think everybody who's listening to the words come out my mouth should be shaking their head. Shake your head. Okay, so, hey, she, and she's been putting some posts out here recently about some dollar amounts. I mean, and she did, we did do a Facebook Live right before Thanksgiving, and it's a little different from your regular kind of investment. And it's, what did she say? Oh, shoot, it just lost me. I was going to say bitcoins, but I don't think that's what it is. It is foreign currency, that's what it is, foreign currency. And so, again, this is not something that even if you, oh, yeah, we talk about financial literacy today too. It's not something that our grandfathers or our fathers told us about. So, hey, just get the knowledge. Get the knowledge. I'm not saying you need to do anything, but get the knowledge, okay? And so contact her, Jolene Robinson, at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Steppingtowin.com. And you can call her or text her at 980-298-2231. Again, 280-298-2231. Hey, and our longtime media partner, Tawana Smith, and we're still promoting her her book, because I really, hey, with sports being dropped, with teams not competing, you're going to have students who are really going to go ahead and try to go professional. And you need, if you're one of those folks that kids ask for advisement on, you need to jump to the other side to have an understanding of what they need to do to be prepared. And one of those areas I'm really pressing upon are the track athletes. Yeah, the track athletes. But her book is not necessarily for males or not necessarily for football or basketball. It's for all professional sports. She even has a script, y'all, has a script of how student athletes can let down their family members that wish to be their managers. Yeah, because that's really the issue. They don't know how to tell folks that that love them, that I really need to have someone who understands this game. And I've said this over and over again. It's like getting a ticket in a different state. Yes, you can use your lawyer where you live, but it's better to use a lawyer that the judge already knows. Yes, it's a game, y'all. It's politics. But when you understand the game, you know how to win the game. So get this book, Surviving the Lights, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. It is in Amazon, three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Again, Surviving the Lights, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. Now, let me just say this, and this is an endorsement, okay, from the NFL. The NFL bought the book for all the participants of the Celebration Bowl. So the two teams that competed last year received the book, and plus she presented a workshop at Celebration Bowl for the participants. But, like I said, don't take my word for it. If the NFL bought the book for all of their participants, you need to get the book on your bookshelf. I'm just saying, okay? And again, speaking of books, I am still I'm still pushing my chapter in the book, Removing the Face. My chapter is called publicfiguremask.com. And if you do go listen to my interview, it's all mental. You'll see why it's really important, especially this time when you are in the middle of a pandemic and you're playing something, and then every time you're playing something, everything is fluid and you're just a little frustrated. And let's just be honest. You know, for me, I don't know, it's something about the fall. When the seasons change, I get blue. Again, it's self-awareness. If you're into emotional intelligence, being self-aware is a leadership tool. And one of those tools is counseling. And that is what I found over 20 years ago. And let me just be honest. You know, when I hit that wall, literally and figuratively, back in the early 2000s, my career soared after I had counseling. So, again, and if you're working a full-time job and you have health insurance, it's covered. Its therapists are covered in that. So we can't tell our student-athletes that it's important to seek help, and we don't do the same. But if you'd like to hear about my story and how I hit that wall and what happened, go to publicfiguremask.com, publicfiguremask.com, and I will autograph your copy. Well, I know you're going like, wow, she's going fast today. I am, people. Yeah, I am. Because I have a dentist appointment. The pandemic, I canceled like three times because I was like, I'm not going to leave this house. But now it's time to go. It's time to go. And I had to squeeze in this time, and they said 11:15, and you know the show ends at 11. So I'm going to be rolling. So that being said, it is time to introduce our guest of the hour, Kara McClendon, the student athlete and player development for the Ohio State University. Welcome to the garden. Good morning. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right. I don't know. I had my headphones in, so I apologize for that. They must not be working well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I feel like we're doing a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Right. Sorry.
Did you hear your cheers, though?
I did. Thank you for the applause.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm excited to. I've seen you, you know, at the Black Student Athlete Summit, but we've never had a conversation, and so I'm glad to get to know you here, and everybody gets to listen in on our chat.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Likewise. Thank you for having me.
So let's jump right on in. Let's start with your college to your current position.
Okay, so I'm Kiara McClendon. I'm a New Jersey native, originally from New Jersey. I went to Rutgers University in New Brunswick, and I got my bachelor's there, as well as my first master's. And my formal experience is in communication and Africana studies for my bachelor's, and then health communication for my master's. And when I was in the middle of my master's program, that's when I really started to switch into working in sports. Which caused me to then pursue a second master's, which I got at Virginia Commonwealth University with their Center for Sport Leadership Program. So went to school for quite a long time, got a couple degrees, and really wanted to make an impact in the sports world, helping student-athletes and professional athletes.
Well, you know I'm going to have to back you up. So you're at VCU. I mean, when did you step into the athletic side?
Sure. So when I was at Rutgers, I did my bachelor's there. And when I got into my master's program, I started out as a tutor for their student athlete support services office and a GA for their communications department. So definitely want to shout out Rutgers Athletics for helping me get my start in the field in two different areas. And that was during my first master's program. And from there, I, you know, found out about the VCU Center for Sport Leadership Program. Okay, you know, this is a great program. They have an opportunity to study abroad, and there were a number of different features that were attractive to me. So I decided to strengthen my experience in sport by continuing to work as a GA for their academic department as well as their communications department, and then get another degree. So I was, you know, ready for the field.
Okay. Okay. So that's good info, you know, and I'm in Virginia, so I'm really fully aware of VCUs. Now, interesting enough, when I got my master's and I started my program in 1990, there were only two programs in Virginia who had sports management. It was Old Dominion and Richmond, University of Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah. And so since then, you know, I think my mentor was Leon Bay. He was at Virginia State. And I remember him starting the sports management program at Virginia State. And so it's great to see that VCU is really on the map. That's one of the premier ones because they have great programming. I served on a high school curriculum task force with one of the folks at VCU. I think he taught there, and then he was also on the athletic side. I think it's Lampy.
Yes, I love Dr. Lampy. He's awesome.
Yeah, I figured you would because he sounds really in tune. Because what we were doing, we were looking at curriculum for Virginia High School and sports management. And we were saying, and I remember, this is interesting, we were both saying, esports is the way to go. We're trying to tell you. And then I looked at him crazy. I don't really know that much, but I know that he's telling the truth, so. So I know that you got a great background. So how did you end up at the Ohio State University?
So after I got my master's at VCU, I reached out to the Student Athlete Support Services Office at Florida State University and was able to interview and secure their postgraduate internship in Student Athlete Support Services. So I went from Rutgers to VCU to Florida State in like 14 months. And I worked there for about a year doing my postgraduate internship, kind of splitting my focus between being a learning specialist and being an academic counselor and helping with their student-athlete development programming. So the internship is another, like, well-known internship in our field, specifically academic support for student-athletes. So being able to couple my experience at my two universities, having been a GA at VCU and having been an intern at Florida State, helped me to get to where I am at Ohio State. And I've been at Ohio State now for almost 4 years, which sounds crazy when I say it. Time is flying.
Well, let me ask you this question. Did you get paid at these, not the GA positions, but the internship?
Yeah, so the internship with Florida State is a paid internship. It's a postgraduate internship.
Mm-hmm.
And you're basically working full-time, you know, 40-plus hours, and learning the ropes for our field. So.
Okay. Because many of the internships, that was grad internships. Undergrad are not. And
right.
I see the push for someone wrote a piece, and I went to NAS last year, and they talked about the push for paid internships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's how I got my start was internships. Like I was talking about earlier about LeCount Conaway and working in as a student sports information. You know, I'm a proponent of performance without compensation first.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, prior to me working in sports, I did work in the music industry and in communication, and I've done probably 6 internships that were not paid. So
mm-hmm.
I do understand the hustle before the opportunity to be compensated for your services. However, I understand both arguments. I understand, you know, you got to put the work in. You got to kind of put your blood, sweat, and tears into something to see the product that you would like to see and to experience the success you'd like to see. But then I also understand the struggle, right? And
mm-hmm.
being a college student or a graduate and really needing money for your time and really needing money to pay your bills and maintaining insurance and all that. Like, I was lucky during the Florida State internship, I was still young enough to be covered under my parents' insurance.
Mm-hmm.
However, for some people, not having insurance would obviously be a huge issue. So it just depends. It depends on, you know, what your circumstance is and what you can manage. But I think putting your time, effort, and energy into something and trying your best to get all out of the internship that you can is what's most important. And that I definitely tried to do that when I was there. I was doing everything.
Right. And I majored in communications undergrad, and I actually did my internship at the CIAA PR first.
Okay.
And then I interned with BET, and then
nice.
I interned with a local CBS affiliate in Norfolk. And that said, the internship taught me that I didn't want to be in television. So that's another reason why you need to do it, so you can see what you like and what you don't like.
Yes, ma'am.
Without having any ties.
Right. I agree. I mean, that's why I did all the internships that I did, because I interned for a pharmaceutical company. I interned for engineering society. Like, I went through corporate communication. And corporate communications pays very well. I will say that. That's an advantage. But it wasn't as exciting as I wanted it to be. I'm a people person. I like talking and helping people. And in those capacities, I wasn't able to really tap into that passion of mine. So I just decided, you know what, I want to transition. Like, I did music first. I was at Atlantic Records, Revolt TV, Hot 97, and I worked part-time for Hot 97. So internships and all that. Transitioned to corporate communication and was like, I don't know. I don't love this. It's great and it's great experience. And I learned a lot about professionalism and, you know, just the different sides of communication. But I wanted something that combined my love for entertainment and like a fast paced kind of environment, but also helping people. And so that's kind of how I actually settled into working in sports, because I was like, you know, working specifically with athletes, they're obviously a high-profile population, whether it's student or professional athletes, but who's really helping them? Like, who's really investing the time, effort, and energy into building the whole person and doesn't want anything from them except for them to be successful? So I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit with what I'm saying, but that was really why I decided to transition from the earlier work that I was doing in my career and, like, while I was in college to now working in sports.
No, that's important because, again, people listen to the podcast. I mean, one is, you know, just to support each other. But when people contact me about, do you have any career advice, I should listen to the podcast. Don't go by me because I'm 53. I don't know how old you are, but I know there's some years in between. And so, you know, they'll say, oh, she's old and folky and she's just old. That's how they do things. Okay. So I try to make sure I have the older, the seasoned administrators and the young administrators so they can be able to hear someone to say, this is how I navigate it. Because there are lots of people with degrees and they're all looking for jobs. What's the difference? It's the experience, and experience may not be paid. So that's why I was like, okay. When I saw that you moved around and you weren't hesitant, I think it has a lot to do with you being at the Ohio State. But you still didn't tell me how you got there.
Yep. So, I mean, to your point, you definitely can't be afraid to move around. In sports, there's a mantra that in order to move up, you move around. And so at every point in my progression so far, I've had to move somewhere else to move up. So you are absolutely right. That if there's ever a piece of advice I could give to, you know, individuals, regardless of what level of their career they're at, I would say that. Like, don't be afraid to move. Don't be afraid to take risk, calculated risk, right? But don't be afraid to move around, because it's, staying in one place doesn't necessarily allow you to grow the way that you may need to. And you may not always be afforded those opportunities in the same place. So
you just use my favorite word, grow. And so would you say that growth is comfortable?
Absolutely not. every I'm laughing because I actually had a conversation with a friend about this yesterday. There's no part of growth that's comfortable. Like, I'm from New Jersey, right? I'm not going to lie to you. I never really imagined being in Ohio. It's like two different worlds. Sure. But I've grown so much as a professional by being here and being able to do all the things that I've been able to do here. So formally, my title is learning specialist. So I'm still very much so academic focused. However, over the past two and a half years, I've been able to split my responsibilities in half to work in student-athlete support, student-athlete development. And, like, it's in a at one point in time, I was, like, the youngest person in our office. You know, there was a lot of growth there and a lot of, like, learning from watching others, learning from making my own mistakes. But all of that has led me to the level of success that I've had thus far and the level of assuredness and, like, purpose that I feel working in sports. So.
I want to ask you some more questions as pertains to consideration of these positions. And I'm asking it because, again, I got some clients. I have a program called the Advanced Academy. So it's for people who want their first job or their next job in athletic administration. And so usually I do a lot of head work, you know, help them figure out what guides their decisions, all right? And then I figure out what's blocking them. And usually it's their thought process, okay?
Right.
That's why I'm all about this mental health piece, and self-awareness. And then when we get the interview, then I pump you up to remind you all the confidence of all the great things that you bring to the table. And they go to the thing, and they're all great. And then they get the job offer. Then it's like, yeah, but it says so-and-so. I'm all like, And I don't want to tell them what to do. Again, I'm just a strategist. I'm not, you know. So let's talk about, and what would kill me, it was like, okay, or it's not enough money, or it's on commission. I'm like, well, if you know your skill set, you can go and make money. You know, that's why I'm all about additional income streams, which we're going to talk about. But how much did you consider salary when looking at these positions?
So I think in the beginning of your career, a lot of times it's really about just getting your foot in the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
but you do need to manage your own financial standing and your own financial responsibilities to then take a position. So if you know, okay, I'm making $40,000 a year, you need to adjust your expectations of how you can live if you work in an area that's got a high cost of living. Like all of these things, you can make it work. It may not be comfortable. Like we said before, you may not have as many luxuries as maybe you would like to, but in the beginning of your career, it's about laying a foundation and trying to then build on it to be compensated in a way that you would like to be compensated as you've gotten your skill set to be stronger, as you've, you know, got more experience, as you've made a bigger impact. So we know that in some cases, sports does not pay the glamorous salaries that you see professional athletes or coaches making, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one, it's about building a foundation and making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you build your foundation? How can you make an impact? And then over your career, you know, the success and the money will come.
Well, I want to ponder that. I like what you said. It's about building a foundation and it's about making impact. So what I'm going to do, I am going to go to commercial, and I want you to think about how did you have you made an impact at the Ohio State University. So we're going to take really a short break here in Chapman Garden. When we return, we're going to hear the answer about how this young professional has made impact at the Ohio State University.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders. Exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
Money this year.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in a chat in the garden where significant blooms in athletics and sports. Okay, Ms. McClendon, what you got for me? What kind of impact have you made?
Sure, yes. Yeah. So your question was about impact. And I think the most significant impact that I've been able to make at Ohio State is on the lives of the student athletes, right? So watching a student come in their first semester, typically in the summertime or first semester, fall semester, and grow from that point all the way through graduation and being able to support that process academically, athletically, and personally, I think are the most significant impacts that anyone who works directly with student athletes can make. But for me, that I've made at Ohio State, programmatically, I've been able to support the creation of a couple of programs, Chiros being our Black female student athlete leadership group, OSU Bays, which is Buckeye Athletes for Education on Safe Sex, the Sexual Assault, Sexual Prevention Program, our Buckeye Legacies Program. There's been a lot of great student athlete development programs that I've been able to help create or support the creation of. And so those are beyond just the direct impact on the students, but also empowering them to lead and to get the support that they need from me and other professionals, but also from each other.
Wow. Wow. Well, I got a couple of questions for you beyond mine. And I'm trying to think. I think I better go to somebody else because I can keep on going and then I might miss them. So Dr. Jasmine Highsmith would like to know, who inspired you to work in sports?
That's a good question. I don't know if I have a one single person that inspired me to work in sports. I think I had early on in my career an opportunity to interview for an internship with the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from there, at the time I wasn't placed with a department because my major didn't correspond with like a vacancy that they had. But I think from there, I was like, I really want to work with athletes. Like, I really want to help support them because, again, I've worked in a high-profile field before with high-profile individuals, and I was like, how can I do this but in a way that really makes an impact, that works to educate and empower athletes? So I think it was more of a circumstantial inspiration versus one particular person.
That's good, because my next question, you may or may not, but I feel that even though this is not your area, you will, because you seem to be very observant. So, Delise Kofi, a psychologist and a mental game coach, she's got several questions. Have you seen a spike in mental health needs for athletes? What services are available to help athletes with their mental health? And what services are available to help athletes with mental performance?
Sure. So, I mean, COVID is definitely has presented a lot of challenges for everyone across the world, but specifically with our student athletes and professional athletes, I know it's been a challenge. With sports being shut down at some universities or in the professional realm, or just dealing with the challenges related to the transitions, we've definitely seen an uptick in the need for mental health support for our students and professional athletes. Athletic identity is something that we spend a lot of time hearing people talk about, but when you work with athletes and truly see how their athleticism is manifested in the way they present themselves and the way they conceptualize who they are, this is a complete upset to that. And I work closely with one of our sports psychologists at Ohio State on one of our programs, and she's talked a lot about the, you know, continued seeking of mental health support for our student athletes. Like, many student athletes reaching out to her during this time, whether they're afraid in terms of, you know, catching the coronavirus, or they're dealing with challenges related to just how to shift, you know, my athleticism. I'm not able to pursue that right now. So, you know, who am I? What can I do? How can I use this time you know, wisely. So here at Ohio State, they do have several sports psychologists or athletic counselors that work with our students. And then for, you know, universities across the country, there are a lot that do. But for those that don't, you know, pushing students to go to your counseling services on campus is very important. Or seeking outside mental health support services that may be covered by their insurance is another great place to work. But working with a sports psychologist always is great because they have the psychology background, but then also have a different level of training more specifically related to working with athletes. So if anyone's looking for that support, I would definitely say trying to find a sports psychologist to work with, a sports social worker is another area that is becoming really big in terms of training and execution of sports psychology or sport counseling. So, yes, to her point, you know, definitely seeing an uptick in the need for mental health support services for sure.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of women join the Chattanooga Garden group. And I think I've had, you know, I got this magazine, which didn't even mention on the show yet. So I got a magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine. And the first issue will hit the stands in March.
Nice.
Thank you. December the 4th is the deadline for all submissions. And so I'm the visionary in chief. Okay, I'm not the editor. I'm just the visionary in chief because I kind of know what I want to be displayed. Number one, which I'm about to hit you with right now, is the specialized knowledge. I'm trying to position the women who have submitted as the expert in the area. And secondly, to guide what is needed, you know what I mean? And so, and also, in one of the conversations, and I'm not being racial about this, but you know, there's a sense of in our culture of not airing out dirty laundry. But if you see someone who looks like you or reminds you of your mother, you may feel more comfortable to release some things.
Sure.
And 100%. So there's not many of us in it.
Right.
That's why I'm trying to push it.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're definitely spot on. I'm fortunate enough to know a number of individuals who do look like me and who do look like our minority students that are in the sports psychology realm, it's growing and it's needed. And I definitely want to give a shout out to those individuals who are Black, are, you know, Black Indigenous people of color who are sport psychologists or work in sport counseling, because we're needed in every space of every area of sports, and especially that. I think one thing that has worked to my advantage, to your point earlier, is being a younger professional and looking like a lot of the students that I've had a chance to work with has allowed me to connect to them in ways that others may not be able to because they don't share the same cultural experience. So the same can be said within the sports psychology area. It's easier to disclose personal information to someone that you have a solid relationship with and that has a shared understanding of some of the basic aspects of who you are. As Black people, we just have certain things that Black people understand. As Hispanic or Latino individuals, same thing. They're just cultural experiences that people, you know, share. So I agree. I think more Black people, more minority individuals or Black Indigenous people of color should get into sport counseling, sport psychology, because they need to see us.
So, you're a woman after my own heart. A woman has monetized her specialized knowledge and has added another income stream. Tell me more about being a financial literacy educator.
Sure. so talking about this because it's also really important. Outside of my full-time role and completely independent to the work that I do with Ohio State or any other university, I became an author of two coloring financial literacy coloring books for children, as well as a financial literacy flashcard game that helps to teach the basics of financial literacy. So when I first started, I was, you know, myself ignorant to a lot of just the basics related to financial literacy. I didn't have an understanding of how to plan my retirement. I was, like, really frustrated by the fact that I had went to school for so many years and was never required to take any classes or be formally educated on some of the most important knowledge that we need to have is how to manage your finances, how to save, how to budget, how to invest, how to work towards, you know, buying your own house and your financial security in the future. So I started to take it upon myself to become formally educated in that, taking classes, reading books, and then wanted to break it down in such a way where it's easy and fun and culturally relevant for students, for children, for families to learn this and to learn it together. So in that process, I've also started doing some guest speaking engagements and in some ways working with athletes as well in a space. Like I've talked to high school student athletes about financial literacy. I've got a couple of local things that I've done with the city of Columbus. But yeah, really, really, really pushing that narrative that, unfortunately, a lot of times we are financially irresponsible and it becomes an issue because we're also financially ignorant or like just not educated on how to manage it the way that we need to, but it's not impossible for us to learn. You just have to put the right information in front of young people, in front of our athletes, in front of, you know, Black, Indigenous people of color in a way that we can understand it. So that was my goal. So how do I make this work? How do I figure this out? How do I create opportunities to educate people that look like me and make it fun to do so? So
what's the name of the book again? And it's a coloring book?
Yeah, so the series is called The Adventures of the Money Mavens. It's a bilingual coloring book series. There's two books in the series. They're available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and my personal website. And then the flashcard set, those books are for kids in kindergarten all the way up to the fifth grade. And then the financial literacy flashcard set that I have is for ages 12 through adulthood. So, again, trying to cover all the age groups to make sure that all the bases were covered in terms of my support.
Let's see. I'm always, look, my husband says, you always trying to figure out how to make a deal. Well, I'm telling you this so you won't forget to contact me after this. I think I might have, because I know someone is looking for some products for young girls that, to be honest, would be a fundraiser. But I told them I don't use the word fundraiser. And so, we may have a deal.
All right now.
Okay.
I will definitely reach out. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. So, hey, this is why it's so important not to live in isolation. Because
absolutely.
I'm telling you, I mean, 1,000%, you will get further with collaboration than you will by yourself.
Yes, ma'am. That is very true.
Yes, I do work with Boo Williams Sportsplex. And Ava, who is actually my client, and here's the whole thing. You know, I know how to empower people, but I may not know how to do this techie stuff. And so she showed me how to use Google Docs and use a QR code, and the thing goes straight to the spreadsheet. I'm like, man!
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, so, look, I'm going to work today, and I'm going to make QR codes for participants, for spectators. I'm going to go crazy, girl.
Yep. Love that. Taking this skill and going straight and putting it into practice. Love that.
Yeah. But so she came down and stayed with me the whole weekend, Well, what really happened, my husband's stepfather passed, and so she couldn't train me and then have me train people because I wasn't going to be there. So I was like, she says, well, let me do it, and I can see what the clutches would maybe be, and then I'll set the stage for you. That's what happens in the garden, y'all. There's no competition in the garden. It's nothing but growth.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but growth.
I love that. I love that. I think working in sports, naturally there's a competitive aspect to just sport in general, and it spills over into, you know, support staff and different areas of sports. But I do think that, to your point, you win together. Most sports, regardless of even if it's an individual competition, like you win as a team. You may have
right.
individual medals in track. You may have individual medals in fencing and other sports, but your team at the end of the day wins together. So to your point, I agree. I think collaboration over competition is something that's oversaid and not necessarily always followed. But I truly believe that. I think that I've been fortunate to work with a lot of really great people, and I'm blessed to have that opportunity. And I want to continue to work in a collaborative space with others, because as a culture, we need to win together.
Here's the thing. So you were saying about team, but this is the thing that's different, okay? Let's say we're talking about people from a different institution and you work
mm-hmm.
together. You know, that's what we're talking about. Like, if you're trying to get your kid All-American and their kid has no way of getting it, you want them to help campaign for your kid, because if they're from your
mm-hmm.
conference, the whole conference wins, you see? So
mm-hmm.
it is that everybody's trying to get their coins, if you say, if you are in entrepreneurship. But your coins can turn into dollars or a check, you know, if you realize that you can connect. I just seen a lot of and it's interesting. I mean, even with this new concept, people automatically go like, if I go and use this QR code, do I lose my job? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you automatically go to what happens to me versus, okay, it's a bigger picture than me. You know, and
right.
so, yeah, that's what I'm really talking about. I'm really talking about not minimizing your fear about where your status is, but have a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You could, I mean, this, so like these flashcards, right?
Yeah.
Are these flashcards on Amazon?
No, so they're on my website. My website is Money Maven, spelled MAVENS, crew.com. They come directly from me. So I, as a small business owner, wrap them up, address them to you, take them to the post office, but the flashcards are not available on Amazon.
Okay, so I'm going to need you to send it to me so I can put it as a follow-up in the group, okay?
Okay, yes, ma'am.
All right. And again, I get excited because the Lord blessed me with creative solutions, okay? That's and it just comes bloop, 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 bloop. So
mm-hmm.
I know we're on the air, so let me just calm down, and I can't wait to connect you with this person, because this is the funny thing. She wanted to make some things, right? I said, girl, you don't have time to make up anything. You better buy something.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then charge $2 to $3 more to make your money, okay? Because that right there, because you buy a wholesale from you know what I mean, and give it to her group that comes for a webinar. So, yeah, I just gave you our secret sauce, but if y'all not listening, y'all missed out. So, yeah, that's what people do. I mean, you think about it.
Right.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. When you get your Tylenol, the Rite Aid, the Walgreens, and Tylenol all made the same place. They just what? White label it, okay? So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. My engineer is the best. She just said we have 5 minutes. So tell everybody how they can reach you beyond your entrepreneur side. Tell them about how to reach you otherwise.
Okay, sure. So if you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, my name is Kiara McClendon, so that's one way. Another way would be to follow me on my Instagram. My Instagram is at Kiara, K-I-A-R-A-I-M. Let's see, if you want to shoot me an email, my professional email is Kiara, kiaramcc27@gmail.com. And then my entrepreneurial stuff is on Instagram as well, at the adventures, or at Adventures of the Money Maven. So it's a very long Instagram, but if you type in Adventures of, it should come up.
It has been a delight, Kiara. It has been a delight to have you.
Yes, ma'am. Likewise for having me. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, no problem. Thank you to my wonderful engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and podcast follow-up. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.
Thank you. Take care.